Seniors living in the Victory Vistas apartments in Paddock Hills recently got notice that their rents will double, but some of them are fighting back.
Seniors, if they're put in this position, they should not buckle or fold, because there are good people and agencies out there that are willing to help to fight for them, because there isn't enough senior housing.
This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the situation are Legal Aid Society of Greater Cincinnati attorney Phil Rich, Victory Vistas resident Raynelda Anderson, and her relative, Audricia Brooks, who is a former Cincinnati City Council candidate. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Raynelda, when did you move to Victory Vistas? What did you like about the place?
At first, it was a surprise. She surprised me with it. Audricia did.
Oh.
But it was a nice location and everything. A beautiful building. But when the rent went up, then I got upset.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, and what was your rent initially when you moved in, and how much did it increase?
It was $4.95, and it went up to $11.38 or something.
Oh my gosh, almost doubling.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, our colleague Nick Swartzel spoke with resident Cara Mia DeMarcia.
I had planned to stay here until my death. You know, I'm an amputee, both legs, and I moved here because the rent was a little less. So I figured that the increments wouldn't go up too high. Kingsley had proposed a rate hike of 80% of my income, which brought my cost of living unbearable. The majority of my income, it only, you know, leaves me so much to pay my bills.
Raynelda, you mentioned you were upset. I mean, what went through your mind when you got that notice? What was your reaction?
I can't afford it. I don't make that much money. I'm on Social Security. I can't do it. But I hadn't expected it to go up in the first place.
Yeah.
I thought that was the permanent fixture, the permanent rate.
Mm. Audricia, what went through your mind? I know you're very close to Raynelda, I mean, what was your reaction when you saw that notice?
I was furious. There was nothing that was ever said to us in the leasing process or any information that we received that indicated to us that this was a temporary solution. We expected that the rent would go up. I was familiar with CMHA. And even though this was not CMHA, I thought, well, you know, there would be a small increment in the rent, but nothing like this. And I was furious that we had not been informed, that there were other options. It was suggested that we needed a voucher. No one ever said anything like that to me at all, because I was very fervent, very diligent on all the processes that I needed to, getting all the information and making sure all the ducks were in a row. So we made sure that we could secure this housing for her.
And that was just after 1 year, right? You've only been in there a year, is that right?
Yes.
Yes, just a year.
Phil, this apartment development got low-income tax credits, as I understand it. What does that mean in terms of how much rent the owners can charge?
Yeah, so it's funded through the Low-Income Housing Tax Credit Program, which is administered at the state level through the Ohio Housing Finance Agency. It means something different for each building. In this building, it means that 10 of the units need to be pegged to 30% of the area median income, meaning that residents have to be below that threshold and they'll be given rent that's affordable for their income. In this case, for a one bedroom, that was $494. The remaining 40 units can go up to 60% AMI. It seems here they are trying to transfer up to 11 residents or more from 30% AMI units to 60% AMI units without any warning.
And I should mention that Kingsley and Company there, that's the owner or one of the owners, I guess, of the community. Is that right?
Right. They developed the property and are the primary owner of Victory Vistas LLC, which owns the property.
Okay. So you mentioned that the that the owners seem to be trying to transition these, the people who had the 30% AMI rent to 60%, would that would double then the rents essentially?
It's a 134% increase for these people. So it's more than double. And, you know, we see it less as a renewal or an opportunity to increase your rent and more as just a lease termination, right? From the start, they've been talking about relocating residents. They knew that these residents would not be able to continue to afford to live there because they qualified for the 30% units for a reason, right? We represent one individual whose income is, or whose rent is 76% of her income. For the remainder of folks, and we represent 11 people, we're looking at 86% of their income for rent. And for four people, it's over 100% of their income.
So they don't even have enough income to pay that rent.
They do not.
Wow. And if it's, you know, 75, 80% of your income, that doesn't leave money for other bills, food, medication, all the things people need to pay for.
Nothing.
Yeah. That's got to be kind of scary.
Yeah. I have electricity, insurance, internet, a lot of other things to pay for, food.
Sure. I mean, we all do. That's everybody does.
True.
Everybody's got those bills. Well, we're talking about the Victory Vistas apartments in Paddock Hills and how some residents there are working with a lawyer to fight a steep rent increase. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Phil, are there rules or regulations concerning how much the development can raise rent in a single year?
Yes. It gets a little bit complicated, but built into the program, they're not supposed to increase rent by about 10% per year, which in this case would be a $50 increase.
So that's supposed to be the ceiling, like you can raise it by up to 10%.
That is a ceiling of how much the cap can increase year on year. So in theory, if you charge under the cap, you could increase by more. But, you know, for all of these residents, they were promised 30% AMI units. They were promised rent locked into those units. So this increase is not 10%. It's 134%. And it's a lease termination.
And that's what we were anticipating, at least a modest increase in the rent, but nothing to the degree that we saw. And it was my understanding that the developers received a 9% tax credit, and that the city also offered them or gave them $1 million to develop this property. And then for them to turn around and treat our residents and our seniors this way is just totally not acceptable. And it's just wrong.
Yeah. Phil, did talk about the assistance that the developer got from the city of Cincinnati, Hamilton County, and are there rules that have to be followed because of that assistance?
Yes, they got funding from both entities and both bits of funding came with a detailed set of rules. The county gave, I believe, just $100,000. And the city gave a $1 million 1% loan, along with a meaningful property tax abatement. We're still working to find out exactly the size of that abatement. It's over $100,000. In that city agreement, there's a commitment not to have rent above 30% of residents' income, which they are clearly breaking here.
Yeah. And that's for a fixed number of units in the development.
Right. And there's also just the spirit of what subsidized housing is, right? Like Adricia alluded to this earlier. When you move into a subsidized unit, you expect stable rent, right? It is designed to stabilize seniors and provide affordable housing for seniors. And what in this case has happened is people have moved away from what have often been relatively stable residents, you know, other subsidized buildings. They've moved away from, someone lived in private housing for nearly 30 years to move into this unit. So what this unit has done is destabilize the residents.
So Rinalda actually moved into the city to get this housing because she was a resident in a suburban community. And in the place where she lived, it wasn't as conducive for her lung conditions because it was a no-smoking area, but the no-smoking area for the building was right outside her window.
Oh.
And she does have COPD and some other diagnoses related to her lungs that made this cumbersome for her and actually a health risk and hazard. So I was excited to be able to have her in a place where she would not have that issue.
Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying is in the old place where Reynelda lived, the smoking area was right outside her window.
Exactly.
So she couldn't have the window open or else there's all this smoke coming
in. It didn't matter even when the window wasn't open. She was always
the window down.
Yeah.
Getting that smoke in her window. So it wasn't good for her. She is on oxygen permanently all the time.
I have one lung.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And this was a brand new building. So it must have been, felt great to be able to move into a brand new place that you could afford.
And be able to breathe without this, all that smoke. Mm.
Yeah. Well, Cincinnati Edition did invite Kingsley and Company founder Chinenem Ndukwe to be part of this conversation. We didn't get a response, but the company sent a statement to our colleague Nick Swartzel. Here's what the statement says. We acknowledge the recent rate adjustments and are actively collaborating with each impacted resident to explore available assistance options. No resident has been evicted or displaced as a result of the changes, and no eviction notices have been issued. Victory Vistas is operating in strict accordance with the guidelines and regulations of the Ohio Housing Authority. Can you talk about what has that active collaboration looked like? Are you feeling that, Audricia, Reynelda?
They're going to pay part of the rent for 2 months. Well, part of the rent for December, they're going to pay half of it for this month. Mm. And then after that, I don't know.
So my understanding was that in January, we weren't really sure what was going to happen. I was really hoping not to move her. We started a GoFundMe account, which is not sustainable, but we're looking at every opportunity that we can to fund her housing so that we can keep her in place. We're not sure the family would need to take her in if we can't resolve this. We've sold her clothes or tried to sell her clothes, gone to consignment shops and tried to, just anything that we can do to help mitigate this in this short space so that we don't have to move her.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. We will continue our conversation after that. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the rising rents at the Victory Vistas Apartments in Paddock Hills, which was built as an affordable housing development. My guests are Legal Aid Society of Greater Cincinnati attorney Phil Rich, Victory Vistas resident Reynelda Anderson, and her relative, Audricia Brooks, who is a former Cincinnati City Council candidate. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. You know, before the break, we were talking about this feeling that you might have to move. And I understand right now, Audricia, you live very close to Reynelda, right? I mean, part of the location is about your being close to be able to help out with things.
As her primary caregiver and coordinator for her care, it's important that I am close to her. I'm actually in walking distance now. Before, she was about 20 minutes away. And before we relocated her to Cincinnati from Youngstown, Ohio, she was 5 hours away.
Wow.
So we moved her from Youngstown 8 years ago to Cincinnati, and she was 20 minutes away. And now she's within walking distance. She's a couple of blocks away from me so that I can access her if I need to, if she has a need.
Yeah. Gosh, it probably felt like the perfect solution.
It did. It did. And I was excited and had a little car trouble at one moment and actually did need to walk there, and it worked out fine.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, we do have a caller on the line. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
The comment was just that I'm sure this project is less than 15 years in due to the tax credit program, low-income housing tax credit. So all chances are that over 99% of it's still owned by the tax credit investor, who's either going to be a large bank or a consortium of banks. So I was just calling to question or ask whether Legal Aid had been able to identify the investor and to reach out to their community development people to see if they're on top of the situation to understand, really what's going on. they should be very sensitive to the kind of bad press this would bring them. If it's PNC, a Fifth Third, U.S. Bank, the list goes on, Huntington, all of them participate in the program very actively, and they're very conscious of trying to prevent mistakes that would put the tax credit at risk as well as the reputations at risk.
Well, thank you, Tom. That's an excellent point. Is that a legal avenue you all are pursuing, Phil?
Yeah, we're exploring that. For listeners at home, part of what funds these projects are the tax credit, which is transferable. That is looped in with other tax credits and sold to investors who essentially give the primary developer equity to build the home. We are 1 year into this building. It is rent restricted for 30 years, so we are well within the time frame, and that is a point of advocacy that we're pursuing. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Tom, for raising that point. We sure appreciate it. Phil, one of the things that I read in that statement before the break was that Victory Vistas says it's operating in strict accordance with the guidelines and regulations of the Ohio Housing Finance Agency. Is Victory Vistas operating in accordance with those guidelines and regulations?
They are not. Most importantly, they are effectively terminating the leases of 11 of my clients. And as part of those regulations, they must renew leases unless there's good cause for terminating them. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest way in which they're violating this program. We also don't know whether there are 10 remaining units at 30% AMI. So we're still in the process of investigating whether even if they did over-allocate the number of 30% AMI units at the beginning of this project, those individuals still have that good cause lease renewal protection.
How many units are in this building total?
50.
50, okay. Okay, so it's a question of were there more than the 10 initially that they were having at 30% AMI? And
right, it's that question, and whether there was also an awareness that when they rented these out at 30% AMI, was that purely a mistake, or was it also to make sure they could get enough residents in the building to meet occupancy thresholds?
Hmm. Well, Nick Swartzell also talked with resident Sandra Roberts.
There's only so many of us that are staying because me and my best friends down here, they're moving because the rent is too much for them. And they got health problems like I do. I got heart issues, kidney issues. I had thyroid cancer. On top of what I was dealing with my husband, then he dies. What if it happened to your parents or your grandparents?
Hmm. Phil, talk about what recourse these tenants have if they can't afford these higher rents, but they want to stay in the building. I mean, what are you trying to help them pursue?
We sent a letter on behalf of our 11 clients to the landlord telling them that they need to put these units back at 30% AMI and keep the rents exactly the same. If they don't accommodate our demand, we will take them to court, sue them, and ask the judge for what would be a declaratory judgment action, affirming that our clients have the right to remain in their 30% AMI units. If Victory Vistas wants to roll those over and change the units to 60%, that can happen naturally over time as residents move out, but it can't happen suddenly and no one should get displaced as a result.
What's the time frame for that? You sent this letter. Was there a particular time that they were supposed to answer by?
We're hoping they're supposed to answer Friday. They reached out to us and are finding legal representation that they're going to answer by the end of this week. In exchange, they've agreed not to provide any additional notices to leave premises or file any evictions against our clients or anyone who's in this position. They had already previously given one notice to leave.
One notice to leave because the tenant couldn't afford the new rent.
They have given one, yep.
Okay. Well, what the clock seems to be ticking, though, I mean, this new rent notice, was this supposed to kick in December, in January, this higher rent? What did the letter say?
Well, the higher rent actually kicked in for November.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what the subsidy was for November and December. So already the rent is $1,154 from $495. So it's already there. And for January, we're not sure. So we have put in applications for other senior housing in the city, and there's a waiting list everywhere. But we have put in applications in other places as a backup plan. We're hoping we don't have to go there. We're hoping that won't happen, but we had to do something.
Sure. Well, there are waiting lists because there's not enough affordable housing, right? I mean, that's right. Why the city and the county invest in projects like this. Am I right,
that's,
Bill?
That's spot on. Exactly right.
Yeah. So what is the time frame that you all are, you know, legal proceedings can take time, all of this, you know, with the responses and the lawyers and the filings, and that can all take time. So what's the clock seems to be ticking. What does all that look like for your clients?
It looks like a lot of anxiety and uncertainty that they don't deserve to have. We can and will move as quickly as we can. There are certain filings we could make to ask for judgments within several days. We've looked into that option. But you're right, this could drag on. We don't want it to, but it could.
So in the process of this dragging on, what will happen after January and I don't have that amount of money?
I mean, yes, certainly we would demand that they not file any evictions or any notices to leave premises in the meantime.
Okay.
Thus far, they've committed not to do that.
Okay.
But the reality is these are actors who took this action in the first place. We can't predict exactly what they're going to do next. Hmm.
And so we do have enough in her GoFundMe account to cover her for January. But for those others in the building who are similarly situated,
right,
we don't know. And we do have to consider them as well.
Right. Try to help them.
Yeah. Audricia, I know that you, and I, as I mentioned, you were a former Cincinnati City Council candidate. And I know one of the reasons you ran was because of a lack of affordable housing. That was a really important platform
exactly.
for you. Is there more action that you'd like to see the city take when it comes to situations like this or affordable housing generally?
Well, absolutely. I know a few years ago, we did have affordable housing on the ballot and the city did not accept that when the voters did decline that. And I think when it comes before the next time, that we need to consider setting aside money maybe in the earnings tax for affordable housing. Because if we do not take care of those who are vulnerable in our population, then we're not doing what we should do as a society and a community. So I think that was where we would need to start, is making sure that earnings tax has some funds set aside for affordable housing.
Yeah. Phil, we talked about how the city and the county invested in this project in different ways based on what the owners of this project have done. Is there recourse that the city and the county have? Are you all pursuing that?
Yeah, we are advocating to the city and the county. We sent the letter, the demand letter we had sent to the landlord, to individuals at the city and county level to try to get them to intervene. You know, we believe to the extent that this project is underwater and the rent must be increased, one, we doubt that would be true. But two, if the city or county need to step up and alleviate the burden such that tenants and not... such that tenants aren't facing the consequences of what's happening. Hmm.
And the Ohio Housing Financial Agency, we were told that they were the ones who were responsible for the increase in the rent. The developer said, oh, well, we didn't want to do this. We only did this because they told us to do this and we had no choice. And so, you know, at this point, do we need to be looking at the Ohio, OHFA, looking at them, and where is their accountability in all of this?
Is that something the Ohio Housing Finance Agency does, Phil, to say to developers or owners, hey, you've got to double your rent because of, you know, I mean, is that a standard thing?
That is not a standard thing and never something we've seen. No, I can't imagine that's okay. What happened.
Okay, so it sounds like you're skeptical of that explanation.
I'm skeptical of that explanation. I am.
As were we. We're just sharing what we were told.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. That's good to know. Is it possible that the Ohio Housing Finance Agency might be investigating this themselves to figure out what's going on?
They've indicated that they are investigating it. We sent the same letter. We sent the city and the county to OFA. We've not gotten a response from them, but it's our understanding that they're investigating.
And before Legal Aid was on board with us, we had filed a complaint electronically to OFA about the rent increase.
Rinalda, how are you feeling about all this? This has got to be so stressful.
I have anxiety and I don't come out. it's not good. It's not good at all. I cry a lot. It's not good. Yeah. Not at all. And this made it worse. So
And that heightened anxiety also increases a problem that she has with breathing. So all of this is just folding over and mushrooming into a bigger health problem than she had before she came to live there.
Mm. Oh, well, I have been talking with Legal Aid Society of Greater Cincinnati attorney Phil Rich, Victory Vista's resident, Reynelda Anderson, and her relative, Audricia Brooks, who is a former Cincinnati City Council candidate. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, chocolate prices around the holidays. This is Cincinnati Edition.